But I want to read Matthew 25 from verse 14 to 30. This is Jesus giving this parable. He said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. 24 says, Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talents in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talents from him, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Verse 30 says, And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. I ask you, Lord, that you will quicken me. I pray that you will anoint me tonight to speak your word. Anoint the hearts and the minds of everyone that is here tonight. Lord, I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Lord, I am just your vessel. Use me, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. Thank you because you are here. May your name be exalted and may your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. So tonight, if you will give me a little bit of your time, I want to title my message, Can God Trust You with His Talents? Can God trust you with His Talents? I read an account of a lady. This lady was so distressed. And so she said, When I see God, I will ask Him a lot of questions. This lady was disappointed in the way human beings treat human beings. She was distressed. And she said, When I see God, I have a bunch of questions I am going to ask God. You know, as I think about this lady, I realize that this woman's experience shows the common feelings among many people. Am I right? I believe many of us, if we have the opportunity to see God today, we may want to ask God a bunch of questions. But can I say this tonight? Many people feel that God owes them explanation, right? Many people think that God has explanation to give to them. But let me tell you tonight, many times we think that we have more questions to ask God. But I want to turn it the other way around. God has more questions that he wants to ask you than we think we can ask God. Are you understanding me tonight? Church, let me tell you tonight, God is asking, can I trust you? Can I depend on you? Can I rely on you? This is the question God is asking to every one of us that is seated here tonight. God is asking, can I trust you? Many times we think that, you know, we have so much to ask God, but God has so much to ask us. God is looking for people. Church, let me tell you, God is looking for people that he can trust. God is looking for people that will praise him, that will worship him. And many times we talk about the goodness of God, right? We talk about his kindness, we talk about his steadfastness, we talk about his goodness. These are some of the attributes of God. There are more of the attributes of God. But can I say this night that God is not only satisfied for you to praise him and say how good God is, God wants to manifest these attributes in our lives. So that when people look at us, they see the attributes of God. God wants to reach the world. God wants to reach people. But God cannot come down. He's looking to you. He's looking up to me. He's looking to everybody. And God wants to see his goodness in your life. He wants to see his kindness in your life. He wants to see that you are a steadfast Christian. No matter what happens, you are in church anyway. You worship God. You serve God. So, God needs your kindness. If you say God is kind, you say God is good. God needs these qualities in our lives. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Church, God wants to reach the world, but God is depending on you and he's depending on me to cultivate these attributes in our lives. God wants us to cultivate these attributes. And so going back to my title tonight, can God trust you with your talent? Church, let me tell you, there is a difference between talent and gift. There is a difference between talent and gift. And you say, what is the difference? Somebody said talent is something that you are born with. Something, natural abilities that God gives you that you are born with. And gift is what God gives to you. It's what God gives to you. And so, from the account we read in the book of Matthew, the Bible talks about the parable of the talents. And it is very clear that God is the giver of every talent. I'm so thankful that I got saved 29 years ago. And when I got saved, you know, I remember the late Brother Cover, he was the mentor, he was the teacher. And when he came to teach about spiritual gift, he said, everybody that God saves, God has a gift that he wants to give to you. But it is left to you as an individual to pray and find out the gift that God has given you. And this is what this passage is talking about. That every Christian, you have a gift. You have a talent that God has given to you. And it is left to you to find out that talent, to use it for the glory of God. So, the Bible talks about this man that got five, and he made use of that talent. And he gave two. You know, I love this passage because the Bible talks about this man who gave this talent represents God. God knows our limitations. He knows what we can do. Some of us are not as talented as others. But the little that you have, be faithful with it. Be faithful with it. And so, church, let me tell you, if you have received something from God, God wants you to honor him with that gift, with that talent that he has given to you. God wants you to use it to profit his cause. Every talent, let me tell you, one day will have to stand before God and give an account for that talent that he has given to us. So the talents that you have, it is not yours. It was given to you by God. Are you using it? Or you are just burying it like this one man? He said his master was a hard man. He could not use it. He was afraid to take the risk. And so, church, tonight, we must examine ourselves and we must look at our lives and see the things that God has deposited in us. Hallelujah. Listen to me this moment. You know, as I studied the Bible all these years, I have come to know that the great talent God has given in the Bible, some have even used it to fight against the cause of God. They have used it to fight against the cause of God. Listen to me. Do you realize the source of your talents tonight? It's not me. It's not Pastor Jarvis. But it is God. Are you using it to serve him? What are you doing in the house of God? You need to find something to do for God. God has saved you so that you can do something for God. So everybody at least has a talent from God. Do you know that there are some great writers? They use the power of the pen to discredit the work of God. They use it to discredit the work of God. Do you know that there are some great poets? You know, they write nothing but love verses to send many souls to hell. Send many souls to hell. Listen to me. There are some, they have uncommon voices. They can sing like an angel. They can stir the passion of people. But many of these people use it, you know, for the flesh. They use it for the flesh. Do you know that we have so many people, they are skillful in their hands. They can play musical instruments. They can play it very well. But do you know that they promote Satan-inspired music? They play to inspire satanic music. So the question tonight I will keep asking, can God trust you with his talents? Can he trust you with his talent? Listen, tonight we are going to look at people in the Bible. People that had talents. But do you know that this talent, they use it against God? And this, I'm not saying this to scare you, but this message I'm bringing is to warn you, is for you to be sober and look back and see the areas that God has given to you. And serve that area faithfully. Serve God faithfully in that area. I want us to look at these individuals that I find out. These examples are not good examples, but we can learn from them. The Bible talks about Thaddeus and Judas of Galilee. What do we know about this man? These two men had talents. They possessed leadership qualities. They rose at different times as individuals. And they were able to later draw followers after them. Can you imagine? And sometimes we think that to be a leader is something that is easy. If you think that it is easy, try to be a leader. And sometimes nobody follows you except you alone. Am I right? Nobody follows you. So this tells you how difficult it is to be a leader. But here we are, this man, they were leaders. Instead of being a blessing to the kingdom of God. Instead of, you know, being the kind of men God wanted them to be. Instead of them bringing revival into the church. Instead of they become evangelists for God, become pastors of the local churches, drawing souls into the kingdom of God. They use their talents to draw souls after them. Thaddeus and Judas of Galilee. And do you know, at the end, they fell and they perished. The fruit of their labor wasted away. Can we turn to the book of Acts quickly? Let's confirm what I have just said. Acts chapter 5 tonight. Let us look at what the Bible says in verse 36 and 37 of Acts chapter 5. The Bible says this in Acts 5:36-37. It says, "For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught." 37. "And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed." This is a warning. For these two men, they had the talents. They could have used it to evangelize. They could have used it to be pastors of the local churches. They could have used it, you know, to reach souls and win them for the kingdom. But they won these people to themselves. God will not sit by you causing trouble in his house. God has saved us so that we can be a blessing to his kingdom. So let this be a warning, church, about the talents that you have. What talent do you have that you are thinking that you know you do not worth anything? Use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. And my mind goes back to King Herod in the New Testament. Who was this guy? Herod was a crowd mover. He moved quite a lot of crowds. He had the power of speech. He knows he was an orator. He knows how to speak. In fact, when he stood up to speak, they esteemed him equal to God's, you know, to God's level. And his audience could not compare his speech to any man. They compared him to God. And when he spoke, everybody said, "This voice was not a voice of man, it is the voice of God." Church, I'm telling you, he could have used that talent that God has given him to evangelize. He could have used that gift, you know, to conduct crusades. We need people like Herod who can speak to crowds and move people. Herod could have been like this, you know, to persuade a lot of people in crusades. But he accepted a honor that he was like God. He was God because of his voice. And let me tell you, he ended up being eaten by maggots. You know, let us realize that everything that we have was given to us by God. We should not be proud for nothing. When God uses you to pray for the sick and the sick get healed, don't take the credit. I remember I read a testimony of a man that God was using mightily. He said the whole world was under his feet. God took the gift out of him. He became an Ichabod. He became an Ichabod. So church, I'm telling you, he accepted the honor that was meant for God because of his unique voice. And you know, he was eating up. Can we go to the book of Acts 12, verse 21 to 23? Acts chapter 12, verse 21 to 23. I want us to look at what the Bible says about this Herod. 21 says, "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So church, I'm telling you, what do you have? God wants you to use it for his glory. My mind takes me back to another individual in the Old Testament, Ahithophel. Who was this guy? We can say he was an outstanding gift. He had an outstanding gift of counseling. He knows how to counsel. He knows how to advise. And the scripture says to consult him was like you are consulting the oracles for accuracy. This man called Ahithophel, he can counsel very well. It was that same gift that brought Ahithophel into the high cabinet of King David in the Bible. He was the king's special advisor. And when trouble broke out, you know, upon David, Ahithophel, do you know that he compromised with the conspirators of David? He gave the conspirators sound advice. Had it not been David prayed, God turned the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness, David would have been in trouble. He would have been in trouble. Church, I'm telling you, I don't know the gifts God has given you. I don't know what God has called you, but it is your duty, it is your responsibility to pray that God will reveal whatever he has for you. And when God shows that thing to you, you know, be connected to the leader. And this is why he's here. Tell the leader, I want to do something for God. I feel this is the area God wants me to fulfill in the house. Not for you to be competing with the leader. It is your duty, it is your responsibility to pray that God shows you what you are supposed to do in his house. And when God shows you that, church, you have to be faithful in that area. You have to be faithful. Maybe your calling is to knock on doors, is to follow up some of the members that don't come to church. Don't do it with pride. Do it because you know you are called by God. Or maybe you are there to encourage. Your area is to encourage. Do it with all simplicity. This is what the Bible is encouraging us. I want us to go to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 17 tonight. I want us to look at what the Bible says. 2 Samuel 17. I want to want us to look at verses 1 to 5. For 2 Samuel 17, verses 1 to 5. The Bible says, moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee, and the man whom thou seekest is as if all return. So all the people shall be in peace. Verse 4. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he said. Then if we go down to verses 23, the Bible says this. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Do you get the point here tonight? Here was a man gifted in the area of counseling, but he used his talent wrongly. You see, we must not allow this to happen. And sometimes we think that God does not see. He sees everything. He knows what is going on. He knows our behavior. He knows everything we do. Let us don't side with the enemy. Let us side with God. Let us use the gift that God has given us for his glory. Hallelujah. Let us use it for his glory. Church, I have so many accounts, and the Bible also mentioned this man called Jonadab. Jonadab was a friend of Ammon, and he was one of the sons of David. And do you know that he was a quick planner? Ammon, the Bible says he loved Tamar, Absalom's sister. And this woman was a virgin. Do you know that carnal passion sometimes can have its way in our lives if we don't keep it under check? And so, the Bible talks about this fellow. Ammon had been very worried, not knowing where to go about getting Tamar. But when Jonadab knew about this, the Bible says he fixed a plan quickly. He gave, you know, this guy a method that he must follow. And so, a man like this, church, I'm telling you, You know, he would have been used tremendously in the kingdom of God. He could have been able to draw what we call plans, good and quick plans, and devise methods to execute them in God's kingdom. But he abused that talent. And he taught Ammon to commit two grievous sins. And what are these sins? Rape and incest. Church, some of us are more gifted. We can think fast. Why can't we stand with the pastor and say, I see something, you know, different. But if we do this, I'm sure it will bring blessing into God's kingdom. But sometimes people use their mind to harm God's work. And the Bible says this in the book of 2 Samuel 13. I would like to give scriptures because I want every point I make to give you scriptures. So you see that, you know, God cannot sit by and allow us to use our talents wrongly and allow us to go scot-free. Let us see what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 13, verses 1 to 5. It says this, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Ammon, the son of David, loved her. And Ammon was so vexed that he felt sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Ammon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he had said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Will thou not tell me? And Ammon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at thy hand. You see the account here. It was this fellow called Jonadab was the one that gave this wrong advice. We must be careful being around this kind of people in God's house. They will cause us to lose out with God. They will cause us to fail God. They will cause us to go back to the wall of sin. Hallelujah. You know, I have so many scriptures. If you read 2 Samuel 13, verse 8, the Bible says this. So Tamar went to her brother Ammon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cake. Then if we look at verses 11 to 14, it says, and when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. Then verse 12 says, and she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. Verse 13 says, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Verse 14 says, howbeit he will not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. What a tragedy. What a bad example. See, Jonadab was the one who caused this. He gave this bad counsel. Church, the Bible is full of people like this. It's full with examples, negative examples that we can learn and that we can avoid in our lives if we are going to be used of God. Let us discover what God has given us and let us use it for his glory. The Bible talks about Absalom. This young man was very handsome. He was highly diplomatic. He would not say his intention directly. He knew that he wanted at any point in his life. But listen to me. As we know about this fellow, Absalom, church, we can learn from his mistakes that we don't repeat it in our lives. Time will not allow me for us to look at the book of 2 Samuel chapter 15. If you read from verses 1 to 10, the Bible talks about this fellow called Absalom. But tonight, I may want to read it quickly. Second Samuel chapter 15. The Bible says, verses 1 to 10, it says this. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gates. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Oh, what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said, "Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And verse 6 says, And on this matter did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pray and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Jeshua in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord." And the king said unto him, "Go in peace." So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies through all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." Hallelujah. So, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with diplomacy. As long as we do it right. It is only wrong when it is employed to perpetrate evil. This is when diplomacy is wrong. And so, church, I'm telling you, this fellow was very diplomatic, but it was to do evil. To do evil. So, church, I can go on and on to give you example. What about Aaron in the Bible? Aaron combined the ministry of a high priest with the talent of a sculptor. It was, you know, in the modern world, Aaron will rank as one of the greatest artists the world has ever known. Within a short time, the children of Israel press into provide gods to lead them. He had talent, but he used it wrongly. I don't know what you are doing. And so let us examine our lives tonight. When God saves you and God brings you into his house, it's for you to bring glory into his kingdom. What about Jezebel? You think of Jezebel. You said, "Oh, that lady had no talent." You are wrong. Because this evil woman was greatly talented. Strongly supported by demonic inspiration, she used her talent successfully against evil. Ahab, the king of Israel, her talent was rested in being influential. She was so influential that hundreds of prophets of Baal were feeding from her. Her influence betrayed her. She got whatever she wanted in the land of Israel, where the king was struggling to make ends meet. Church, I'm telling you, we have examples in the Bible of people that had talents that they could have used to bring glory to God's name, but they use it wrongly. I pray tonight that this will serve as a warning. You said, "Oh, you've given me too much Old Testament examples. What about the New Testament? Which example can we draw from?" Demetrius, he was like Aaron, who made a modern calf from golden earrings. This man was a silversmith. His talent was found in making silver shrines for an idol called Diana. And the worship of this goddess was so strong and it was so widespread in the city. See, he could have used the talent that God has given him to bring glory to God's name, but he used it wrongly. So church, look at your life tonight. Where are you in terms of the talent that God has deposited in you? Are you using it to bring glory to God? I believe there are many needs in God's house. If we can just look at our lives and see the areas that we can, you know, function, the church will be better. The church will be growing. The church will be vibrant. The power of God will be there. What about the area of prayer? You said, I don't have any other area. You can come to the church 30 minutes before the time and you begin to pray. Begin to ask God to release his power in the service. God has given us talent. You just have to check with God. You have to pray and seek God and believe God that God will reveal his talents to you. So are you using your talents tonight to praise God, or are you using it to praise the devil? Are you hiding your talent? Look at your life tonight. You say, Pastor, I am saved. I am sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But are you burying your talent? I want you to consider that very seriously as I close this message. Can God trust you with your talent? It is a privilege and honor for God to save me. And since then, when God saved me, I was planning to go to the university. But God got hold of me when I was 21 years old. And I regretted, why didn't God reach out to me when I was maybe younger than 21? But since I made that decision and I gave my life to Christ, I've never gone back to the ways of sin. I've been faithful and I've been diligent in preaching his word. So tonight, here you are. Look at your life. See what God has given you. And use it for his glory. And God can bless you. Let us rise up tonight. Tonight you have heard the word of God. I don't know what God has given you, what talent God has deposited in you. But one thing I know, every man, every woman that God has saved, he has given you something. He has given you something. And so it is your responsibility to use that gift the way God wants you. So tonight, I don't know what God has been speaking to you through his word. But I know God has spoken to you tonight. We want us to find ourselves a place in the altar. Pray and thank God for what he has spoken to our hearts tonight. It is a warning. These men I brought out tonight in the message was to use it to warn you. Now, if God gives you a talent, he wants you to use it. He wants you to use it.